Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, the three modes of material nature, text number 13. Prakasho pravritischa, pramado moha eva cha, tamasya tani jayante, vrivide kuru nandana. Aprakasha, darkness. Aprabriti, inactivity. Cha, and. Pramada, madness. Moha, illusion. Eva, certainly. Cha, also. Tamasi, the mode of ignorance. Etani, these, jayante, are manifested. Vrivride, one developed. Kuru Nandana, O son of Kuru. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When there is increase in the mode of ignorance, O son of Kuru, darkness, inertia, madness, and illusion are manifested. Purport, when there is no illumination, knowledge is absent. When the mode of ignorance does not work by a regular principle, he wants to act whimsically, for no purpose. Even though he has the capacity to work, he makes no endeavor. This is called illusion. Although consciousness is going on, life is inactive. These are symptoms of one in the mode of ignorance. Text number 14. Ida sattve paride tu pralayam yate dehabrit tidotamam vidan lokan amalam prapatipadyate. When one dies in the mode of goodness, he attains the pure higher planets of the great sages. Report. When in goodness attains the higher planetary systems, like Brahmaloka or Janaloka, and there enjoys godly happiness. The word amalan is significant. It means free from the modes of passion and ignorance. These are the impurities in the material world, but the mode of goodness is the purest form of existence in the material world. There are different kinds of planets, and different kinds of living entities. Those who die in the mode of goodness are elevated to the planets where great sages and great devotees live. Rajasi pralayam gatva karma sangishu jayate tata pralinas tasmasi muda yonashi janmate jayate. One dies in the mode of passion, he takes birth among those engaged in fruitive activities. When one dies in the mode of ignorance, he takes birth in the animal kingdom. Purport. Some people have the impression that when the soul reaches the platform of human life, it never goes down again. This is incorrect. According to this verse, if one develops a mode of ignorance, after death he is degraded to an animal form of life. From there, one has to again elevate himself by an evolutionary process to come again to the human form of life. Therefore, those who are actually serious about human life should take to the mode of goodness and in good association transcend the modes and become situated in Krishna consciousness. This is the aim of human life. Otherwise, there is no guarantee that the human being will again attain to the human status. As Krishna has explained in the 15th chapter, Shariram yadavapnoti yatschapyu krimati shraha grihi vaitani samyati Vayor Ganda Ivashayat. That the living entity carries his different conceptions of life from the one body to another as the air carries aroma. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. So here our consciousness is compared to the air. So air by nature is pure, but when air passes through a rose garden, we should say air by nature is neutral. But when air passes through a rose garden, then it smells very sweet. But when the same air passes through garbage, then it smells very foul. The air is neither sweet nor foul, it's neutral, but by association it appears to be pleasant or unpleasant, or a combination of both. Similarly, our consciousness, as Krishna says, prakasham cha yata prakashya yekam kritsnam lokamam ravi kshetram kshetragaya evam yata prakashya yekam kritsnam lokamam ravi kshetram kshetragaya kritsnam tata yata bharati bharata. That just like the sun, just like the sun illuminates all the universe with its sunlight, so the soul situated in the body is illuminating the entire body by consciousness. So we're illuminating the body by consciousness, and therefore, according to the mode of nature that our body and mind are under, then we have a certain experience. As explained there, that when there's no consciousness is there, but there's no activity, then we're in ignorance. And the result of being in ignorance is that one goes down to the lower species of life. Now, that would not be very pleasant, to go down to the lower species of life, considering that even the animals are considered to be elevated compared to the plants and the trees. So if one gets a tree body, just like you go out on book distribution, and it's sometimes cold, all right? But you have a hat, you have a coat on. But imagine if you had to stand there the whole day without naked in the cold. Would that be very pleasant? No. But that's what the trees have to do. In the coldest part of the year, they lose all their leaves and they have to stand there naked. Even if they have snow on them, they can't do anything. They can't brush it off. So that would be very unpleasant to be a tree. And yet, there are many trees in Slovenia. And they're also spiritual beings, just like we are. They just have a different body, that's all. And even a tree, I don't know, what would you choose between a tree and a grasshopper? It would be a hard choice. I don't know how many grasshoppers there are in Slovenia, but they're also Slovene. What to speak of the ants, because I didn't see the ants this year for some reason. But there are many, many ants, Slovenian ants. And they're also, previously, they may have been the mayor of Ljubljana. Some of them may have been a prince or a princess. And now they're an ant. They may not even be the queen ant or the king ant. They're just an ordinary worker. They hardly get any salary also if you're an ant. There's no unemployment insurance. So this is possible. It's not a joke. We can joke about it, but if you become the ants aren't joking about it. They thought they were going to heaven. They were guaranteed. Like that story I told. It's not exactly Shastric, but it's illustrative. You know that story about the man who was miserly, he would never give any money to the church. He kept it all for himself. But one day he decided he'd give 5 euros to the church. And because he heard that if you give a donation to the church, you're guaranteed to go to heaven. So he gave 5 euros, but he demanded a receipt. So the priest said, "We don't give receipts for 5 euros. He said, "You have to give it to me. I have to have the receipt." So the priest said, "All right, I'll give you a receipt for 5 euros. So he was so miserly at the end of his life, when he left his body, he kept the receipt with him. He wouldn't give it up. He was so attached to the receipt. So when he was going through the pearly gates to get judged, Peter looked into the book and said, "You've been miserly, you've been cruel, you've been this, you're going to hell." He said, "Wait a second." So he actually had the receipt with him. He said, I gave a donation to the church. They told me I'm going to heaven. He said, no, no, that's not the way it works around here. He said, no, no, that's what they told me. So there was a big argument between this miserly person and St. Peter. So God was wondering, why is the lion growing so big? No one's being judged. So God came out and said, what's going on, Peter? You know, why this big holdup at the lion? He said, well, this man, I looked in the book, he's supposed to go to hell, but he claims he gave a donation of 5 euros and that he's supposed to go to heaven. So God pulled Peter off to the side and he took out his wallet and gave Peter 5 euros and said, give him the 5 euros back and tell him to go to hell. So that's material life. Everyone thinks they're going to heaven, they're a good person. Even the biggest criminal thinks he's a good person. And he's just misunderstood, that's all. Like that story of Two Gun Pete. You've heard Two Gun Pete? You've heard Two Gun Pete? What's that?
From you.
Yes. You know Two Gun Pete? Two Gun Pete was a famous killer in Chicago. He was a friend of Al Capone, if you ever heard of Al Capone. So he had a reputation, he'd only kill his victims with two guns. So one day he was on Lover's Lane with his girlfriend, and one unfortunate policeman shone his flashlight into their car. So he felt insulted that this is a great offense, and he took out his gun and shot the policeman. But in order to protect his reputation, he got out of the car and took the policeman's gun and shot him again. So somehow or another, the other policeman didn't appreciate that very much. And there was a big chase, and finally they got Pete at his hideout, has a big shootout. So before he left his body, he wrote a note to his mother. Dear Petey, actually I'm a nice person. People just misunderstand me. Please take care of the cat, your son Petey. That was the end of Two Gun Pete. So even Two Gun Pete thought he was a nice person. He was just misunderstood. So in this material world, everyone feels they're good because by nature, the soul is purely good. But when he identifies himself with the modes of nature, even though he may think he's good, but actually, no one in the material world is good because they're living in a life of illusion. And sometimes the life of illusion is relatively better than others. The mode of goodness is better than the mode of passion, which is better than ignorance. But all of them are not very pleasant for the soul. Even in the highest planet, Krishna says, Abrahma bhuvana loka punarvartan ojana mamupeti tukonteya punarjanama navidyate. From the highest planet down to the lowest, there are all places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains the Maya Bodo, son of Kunti, never takes birth again. So even Brahma is in anxiety. What to speak of ourselves? Now, our main anxiety is we have to leave this body, either today or in 100 years, but that's inevitable. But even Brahma has to leave his body. For us, Brahma's life of 311 trillion, 40 billion years is inconceivable. But for Brahman, it's just like our 100 years. He wakes up in the morning and he lives his life. Maybe he's awake for 18 hours a day. But just think how many billions of our years it takes him just to chant his rounds every day. Because one moment in Brahma's life is equal to 100,000, almost 100,000 of our years. So in one moment of Brahma's life, we live and die on this planet maybe 1,000 lifetimes. say 100,000 years, so that's 1,000 times. And yet for us, we think it's a long time, but for Brahma, it's just a moment. And Brahma only lives for one exhalation of Mahavishnu. So just imagine what time is like in the spiritual world. Just having lunch, you know, millions of Brahmas have been born and died. Just having one taking prasadam. And yet we're thinking we're going to be here for a long time. Or we're thinking that somehow or another, maybe I don't want to end this lifetime. I should try to stay here for as long as possible. But no one stays here for any real conceivable length of time. Everything is so quick here. Therefore, everyone's in anxiety. Throughout the whole material world, everyone's in anxiety that this life is only temporary for everyone in the material world. And indeed, it is temporary, but we just go from one life to another, always being in anxiety that I may have to leave my body. And we always leave our body, only to go to another body and leave it again. So it's very uncomfortable for the spiritual soul to have such an unstable position where we have no idea where we're going next, really. I mean, maybe if we, as devotees, we have some idea. I mean, we're a little confident I'm not going to become an ant or a tree. We have some confidence like that. But we don't know exactly where we're going next. Are we going to come back to Ljubljana? Or India? Take birth again? Have to go to school again? You know, suddenly we wake up and we hear someone say, goo goo, goo goo, goo goo. And then we have to go, you're back in school. 1 + 1, how much is it, Johnny? It's 3, you rascal, it's 2. When will you learn? Wait a sec, I think I've been through this before. Okay, it's 2. What is three and two? 6. No, you rascal. When will you learn? Well, I think I learned this before. I can't remember. This is like the 1 trillionth time I've learned this stuff. It doesn't seem to get any easier. I mean, one moment you're a big professor at the university, handing out PhDs to people. You just got the Nobel Prize for something. And next moment you leave your body and you're a bunny rabbit. And no one cares about how big a professor you were 5 seconds ago. So that's the material world. Life is tough and then you die. But if one attains to the spiritual world and if one comes to the mode of goodness, then one can at least understand things properly. One can understand the value of Krishna consciousness. How fortunate one is if one actually has the opportunity to take Krishna consciousness seriously. How, as Krishna says, manushanam sahasreshu yaskid sadatam Manushanam sahasreshu yaskit sadatam. What's that? Manushanam sahasreshu yaskit sadatam. Yaskachi sadatam. Chapter 7. Manushanam sahasreshu yaskit. Kaschereti saraye yadatam apisadanam kaschimam veti tatvataha. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid saratam kaschid yatati sidanam yatatam apisadanam kaschimam veti tatvataha. So out of many, out of many thousand among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who achieve perfection, one hardly knows me in truth. Manushanam sahasreshu yas kaschid sadatam siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschimam viti tatvataha. So, how many people are actually in debt? How many people even know what perfection is? How many people know what the difference between the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion are? How many people know that if you act in passion, you'll wind up in ignorance after some time? People think that I'm going to enjoy in the material world in so many different ways by trying to gratify their senses, and they don't know they're going to wind up in ignorance. The people who are in ignorance, they don't know whether they're going to wind up in the animal species of life or lower. People don't know these things. Therefore, they're not hesitant to perform any kind of sinful activity, because as long as they can think they can get away with it, because they don't know what the results are actually going to be. Nor do they know if they act in the mode of goodness, then they'll actually be eligible to get a better birth in the next lifetime. It may not be a perfect birth, may not be a spiritual one, but it's certainly going to be superior to the one they have now. So this knowledge is so valuable. It's the difference between becoming a rabbit and going to the back to the spiritual world. So it's not ordinary knowledge. Therefore, distributing this knowledge is the greatest benefit. We may not even know what the benefit is that we're giving people, but we're the only ones, by distributing this transcendental knowledge, who are actually giving people any real benefit. If people even, Prabhupada said, even if they touch the book, they become a little familiar. They try to say, what is this book, Bhagavad Gita? What does this mean? Even inquiring about what the Bhagavad Gita, what this book means, is advancement. This is the only thing that will actually help people give them some hope for the future. Everything else is very dark in Kali Yuga. Prakasham cha, puritim cha, moham eva cha pandava, nidveshti na sampuritani, nidnivritani kangshadi, udasina advarasina asakta. So, when there's no illumination, when everything is dark, then we have Kali Yuga. It's like you go on the street and you stop people. What do they actually know? All they know is how many children they have, what kind of work they do, who's their favorite football team, and they probably know where they're going. And most of them know where they live if they're not intoxicated. Outside of that, they think they know everything, but they don't even know who they are. They don't know what the purpose of life is. They don't know where they're going next after they leave their body. The most essential things they don't know. They don't know what the results of their activities are. So this knowledge is very valuable. If someone reads it and tries to understand it, and then try to follow it, then that's the greatest benefit. Otherwise, there is no hope. People know there's something wrong, but they don't know what to do about it. As a matter of fact, as Prahlad Maharaj said, due to the mode of ignorance, when they try to fix things, they make things worse. Like in America, they have this group, they go around at a protest, they burn buildings down. So how does that help? I mean, maybe it's cold outside, it keeps them warm for a little while if they're near the building. But when the building, the people who live in the building, maybe it's a little too warm for them. So this is, they're trying to make things better, I'm sure, by burning things and destroying things. But that's ignorance. And other people are thinking, well, let us build things. Just like in Ljubljana now, they're building so many things. But as soon as they build something, then eventually they have to break it down. Then they got to spend all their time repairing it. So they're working hard to make things better. But then by the material nature, after a while it gets worse, and they have to keep on working harder and harder to just maintain it. And in goodness, when people are living simply, then things still are still not perfect, but they have time to actually think about something better. They have time to investigate themselves and the Supreme Person who created the universe and the way of coming in contact with Him. They have time in their consciousness to actually think about those things. So that's very fortunate if one can come get a little goodness, a little bit of thoughtfulness, a little bit of understanding what this world is about. Then in that goodness, then their life becomes auspicious. Doesn't matter how much money they have, doesn't matter how famous they are, doesn't matter how healthy they are. These things don't matter. What matters is if they understand things properly. Just like there is one person whose name was John Lennon. Have you ever heard of him? He was a Beatle, and he probably still is a Beatle. So John Lennon was at the Prabhupada was living at his estate, Tittenhurst, with some devotees. John Lennon let them come and live in his estate while they were fixing a burial place. And Trivikram Maharaj was there and he was talking to Prabhupada, because John Lennon at that time was worth hundreds of millions of pounds, which were much heavier back then they are now. And Trivikram Maharaj told Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, isn't it wonderful how rich this person is? So Prabhupada said, what is the value of his rich, of all his wealth? He said, he doesn't know how to utilize it. One may have billions of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars or euros, whatever else, but if one doesn't have any knowledge, then it's valueless. Just like most of the devotees here, we don't have very much money. We're not very wealthy, but we eat much better than any billionaire does. We're not eating some dead animal left over from World War I. We're actually eating prasadam. So how many billionaires are eating prasadam? How many can go to sleep at night and sleep peacefully? They're worried someone's going to come and kidnap them. He can't go to sleep at night. Just like there's one life member, he's a billionaire in London, and he has a house that has 45 rooms in it. But every night he has to sleep in a different room because he's worried someone's going to come and kidnap him. So he has all this money, but he can't sleep at night. Or, as Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, told Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he said he had, you know, Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, you heard of him? He was the most famous fighter at one time, a heavyweight boxer of the world. So he's very wealthy. So when he said, before I became a boxer, no one couldn't care anything about me. But as soon as I became a boxer, then suddenly I had relatives I never even heard of before. Everyone was coming to be my friend. But I didn't know whether they were coming to because they actually liked me or they liked my money. So before he was broke and he had some friends. But as soon as he got so much money, then he had relatives, you know, lining up down the block to see him. But he didn't know if they actually liked him or not, or they just wanted to get his money. So such is the material world. If you have nothing, then you're probably in a better position sometimes than if you have unlimited wealth, because then you have really no real friends. You're afraid of losing everything. People are out to get everything you have. And it's a very unpleasant situation. And yet everyone is thinking, if I get this money, then everything will be very happy and pleasant. Most people win the lottery, lose everything in a couple of years. Because they have no knowledge, therefore they have no idea how to spend it. And you just throw it away. They become so happy. And then they just throw the money away. And they wind up in a worse position than they were before. One man won the lottery twice. He won, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars he won altogether. But then he had one granddaughter who was his special granddaughter. So this is a true story. So he started to give her money. She was living like a princess. But then she was so spoiled because of all this money she was getting, she started to take drugs. And because she was taking drugs, therefore she overdosed one day and died. So this man who had won all this money was very disturbed, very heartbroken. That before, he had his granddaughter, a happy granddaughter, they had a nice relationship, and now he won all this money and it wound up killing her, his most beloved object. Therefore, the conclusion is knowledge, transcendental knowledge that we have, is much more valuable than anything else in this world. We can't imagine what it would be like if we were just in ignorance, like everyone else on the street. We have no idea what they're doing, what the purpose of life is, or what their goals of life is, that would actually give them something higher, some higher purpose of life. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. There is this subject, sometimes devotees have, we have sometimes these Sankirtan devotees who are usually new devotees who come, they distribute lots of books and then they just fall away. So how can we explain this and how can we,
well,
how can we do that it doesn't happen?
Well, you can tie them up. But have a long rope so they can send them out on book distribution. Well, they've come, they've offered the service who are going to do it, perhaps for this lifetime. So they had an opportunity to serve Krishna. So that goes for their benefit. But first of all, we hardly understand our own consciousness, what our motivations are. I mean, most people come to Hare Krishna movement at the beginning out of complete distress. And they get a little relief. Once they get relief, then they think, well, everything's all right now. I can go back to my normal lifestyle. Because now I'm relieved. I've been purified, and now I can actually enjoy life again, as it should be enjoyed. So that's generally people's motivation. They come with some material motivation, when it's satisfied, then they go out to enjoy again. They get their receipt. Anything else? Thank you very much. Krantaraj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Kijai.